What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Whiskey, Web, and Whatnot, your favorite podcast about carpentry with your hosts, Robbie the Wagner and Charles William Carpenter III.
That's right. I do all the plumbing, though.
Yeah,
it's
you do.
Ironic.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Our guest today is Amara White. What's going on, Amara?
I'm good today. I'm excited.
Nice, nice, cool. Can you give everyone a few sentences about who you are and what you do?
All right. I am a front-end engineer. I love dealing with React, JavaScript, things like that. I'm also a mom. I'm a girl mom, all four girls.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's interesting. And I am an autism awareness advocate. So I am always trying to share more, learn more, and just make other people informed. So, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
All very positive things. We can't wait to find out about the dark side, though.
Ooh, I don't know. Don't put anything in my cup.
Well, speaking of, so today's whiskey is Teeling Single Grain. So it's an Irish whiskey. This one is aged just under 6 years. Mm-hmm. It is, let's see here. Oh, 92 proof. Thank you, Robbie. And aged in.
You're not even reading this.
Cab Sav. Used Cab Sav casks, so that's going to give it a little bit of the flavor. That's kind of the gist of it. Oh,
right.
I think the mash bill was 95% up. Thank you.
Corn and 5% malted barley.
Yeah, there you
Didn't
go.
Didn't you write this up?
I did write it.
You need
I
to be
can't
bigger?
Read it.
There
I've
we
got
go.
Some bright lights in here.
There's
you
a,
know, you
yeah,
should
there.
Be nicer.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, we'll start down here.
Yeah.
You may pour all of it if you want.
Yeah. Oh, I won't do that. I think that's a nice start, right?
Sure.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Can always come back for more.
Like
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, we don't cap you at one pour. Uh-oh. So typically, you give it a little bit of a smell. I'm not sure. Are you familiar with whiskeys?
I am a little bit.
Okay.
I'm not a connoisseur. I don't know everything, but I do know. I've had a little bit. You know, tasted it a couple times.
Yeah.
Lucky me, Shandae was very nice, and she allowed me to taste some of the. When she was here.
Yeah.
It was good. It was a little spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was nice.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I've not had this one. Don't know how it is. We'll see.
Yeah. I've had a few other Teelings, though, and Irish whiskey in general, it tends to be smoother.
Mm.
Okay. What are we getting in the nose here?
I like it.
Smells like raspberry.
Schnozberries. The schnozberries taste just like schnozberries. Yeah,
it is nice. It does have like a little sweet hint to it.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting a little sweetness, maybe a little bit of maple or something in it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
I
a little
see
flower,
yeah.
A little maple. And I can't really, I'm not good at identifying floral notes, so I'll just drink it.
Pick something. Amaryllis.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's right. I agree.
Oh, yeah. Tons of sweet.
Yeah, very sweet. It is mostly corn, so.
Right, so it's got the corn going for it and some of the, like,
red
wine.
Now that you said maple, though, I can definitely, I catch that maple a lot. Like, you can definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I would say I'm getting slightly fruity in the beginning, and maybe it's your raspberry thing. So that's another thing about tasting spirits or whatever. If somebody says some words beforehand,
you're
it
like,
tends
oh,
to
that's
influence
it.
You.
Yeah,
yeah. And you,
unless
like,
it's very strange words, which I try to throw out there.
Yeah, like... tastes like yellow Legos.
Like, ooh. Oh, yeah, I taste that.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's blue Legos. You're totally wrong.
Yeah, definitely fruitiness, definitely bits of maple in there, and a little light cinnamon in the finish because it has a little burn, but it's fairly smooth in general for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's no right answer. That's the fun part about it, too, is what if you like it or dislike it, that's... You know, that's all personal preference.
I actually do like it. I don't think it's got too much like a good moderate burn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it to give me a little hug.
Yeah,
I'll say
little
it just
hug.
Lets me know it's there. Like, if it's a little too smooth.
Pat on the back. It's like, hey, I'm around.
I'm here. I'm around. Don't drink me too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sip slow.
Right. So our rating system is highly technical. And as an engineer yourself, you know, we have to start at zero, not at one. You must start at zero. Other than that, we'll go up to 8 based on tentacles and an octopus is like our character. And so that's the basis of all of that. But 0 being horrible, I never want this again. 4 being like, it's fine. Not amazing and not terrible. Middle of the road, however you want to compare that. 8 is incredible. This is basically the only thing I would buy if I saw it on a shelf. That's a hard one to get to. So, but I usually make Robbie to go first. Do you feel prepared? Should I take the onus of this for you?
I can go first if you want.
I don't like to force our guests to go first.
Right.
So.
Don't force me to go first.
Yes.
I think somebody sets the bar
and then she can go second or third, whichever.
Yeah. Okay. I can go.
Yep.
Yes, this is Irish, right? I wasn't really paying attention.
It is. It's proper Irish.
Yeah.
From Dublin.
So Irish ones, I think in terms of that, this one is one of the better ones I've had. I feel like the red breasts are kind of fall flat for me. Mm. I know we had another teeling, which I think maybe was better.
It was finished in rum casks, so that was the slight difference.
Then it would have been
there.
Probably worse, because I would think Cabernet would be better. I'm going to say 6.9.
Mm. Ooh, that's a good number.
Yeah, it is. This is a family show. God. I don't know what's wrong with you.
I can't say anything.
Never mind. It's not a good number.
Maybe you should scale it up or down a little. I don't know. Anyway.
All right. 6.8. How about that?
Perfect.
All right. There we go.
Anyway. Do you feel...
I agree. I was like leaning toward like 6.3, you know, around that.
Yeah,
6.
Certainly.
I like it. It's nice. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go. I do also quite enjoy it. I take into account things like presentation, price, and all of that thing. I think it was like $50. So $50, this is a nice one that you would be happy and proud to serve with friends. I like, again, Irish whiskeys. I want them to have more flavor. This has great flavor a lot of times, so I'm happy about that. I'm going to give it a 6.49 repeating.
Boom.
Just to be weird. But everybody else.
Do like a pi times 2.
Right, exactly. No, and then square rooted.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
You lost me. You lost me on that one.
You lost me the first time around. I just didn't want to admit that. Yes,
all
exactly.
Right.
So we should talk about hot takes?
We should. Yeah, these are not very hot because they are older now. But the first one, first, I guess, initial question before this, do you use TypeScript?
I'm learning TypeScript.
Okay.
I look at TypeScript and... I remember when I first started, because I'm trying to figure it out, and I was like, why? You know?
Yeah, right,
that was my first, like, why? And then when you get started and you're trying to look more into it, you're like, okay, it makes sense what it's trying to do. Now, how do I merge the two? Because your brain wants to tell you what for.
Take the easier path.
Like, forget that. Just keep doing what you were doing.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm easing towards... it because I'm learning that there are so many benefits.
Right.
So I'm trying to get to a point where I'm like, okay, let me just, this should be my fallback. This should be my default. Like I should start here.
Right. Right.
So yeah.
Yeah. I know, but I think you're right in the sense of like introducing tools, it has to bring some clear benefit to the work you're trying to accomplish. And if at that time it makes you slower, then you need to be more productive. Well, then maybe that's not a good trade-off, right? Everything's a trade-off. And sort of like incrementally introducing or getting into those things.
Yeah.
When the stakes are lower, it's usually a better time to.
Yeah. So the follow-up to that then is inferred types or explicit types?
I would say explicit then. Like I just, what is it?
Yeah.
Get to the, I don't.
You want to see it.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very, very much like, what is it? I need to see it. I might as well. Like if we're going to do it, I need to see it. Like,
Sure.
You know, follow through.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you don't want to trust other people.
No. Like,
you thought it was this. It's not, at least not for me
in
this situation. Yeah. I get that. I'm going to steal Robbie's favorite question, which is Tailwind CSS or Vanilla CSS?
Oh, I'm Tailwind all day.
Yeah. Team Tailwind.
Yeah,
yes.
I love it. I know some people are like, it's so much, and you know, but I love it.
Yeah, it gets big sometimes.
It gets big sometimes, but I like it. It's so... It just starts to flow. Like once you get it, you can just, I love it.
Again, can make you super productive. Yeah. And I think its learning curve is a lot lower than things like TypeScript. And then conversely, like it makes you super productive. And, you know, like the biggest argument at that point is just, oh, do I not like a billion class names? Well, I mean, you know, do you like ugly CSS files? Because sometimes that can happen.
Yeah. And now you have a CSS file that's, you know,
huge.
Right, exactly. And you do weird janky stuff there. We agreed what the jank is on Tailwind.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Standardized jank.
Standardized.
The new tagline for Tailwind.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to make that t-shirt for the next Tailwind conf.
A hoodie next time we come.
Yeah.
All right. Get rebase or get merge?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whichever works.
That's fair.
Whatever works in the situation. Okay. I'm down to try them both.
All right. That's fine.
That's fair. Yeah. You just need to get with a team that has a strong opinion, and that'll basically face you.
Yeah. That'll be
one
which direction.
Yeah. 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 You'll be like, they beat me into this. So yeah. That's what I do.
That is true. I merged until you meet that person who makes you rebase. And then it's all right.
It's like, okay, I guess that's what it is.
Yeah. I'm that person now.
That tracks. Yeah. Anybody who's worked with you is like, oh yeah, that guy.
Yep.
I don't know. All right. So then along that lines, I actually two questions as well. Do you use VS Code?
Yes.
Okay. Sidebar on the left default, or do you move it to the right?
I'm default all day. Cause I think I did try to do that where I moved it over and it completely threw me off. I am very like, I like things in a particular way, routine, don't change.
True.
I don't like it. It throws me off, right?
Yeah.
And so I attempted to do, like, I'm going to, you know, personalize. No. It was meant to be there.
Yeah. They probably put it there for a reason, right?
They put it there for a reason.
They did a bunch of product research and said, this is the best default.
This is what worked.
Yeah. I do remember hating that it existed at all when I first started using it. Because, I think things before had a lot more at the top.
Yeah.
So I like it at the top. But I don't think that's an option.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you just have it closed by default and then you use the hotkeys, right?
Yeah,
that's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Is HTML a programming language?
No.
Oh, strong
nice
feelings.
It was, because you can just say it like, oh, yeah, I'm proficient. Like, this is no, but it's, you know, it'd be nice, but no, it's not.
Not according to resumes.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So you said that you work in React, right?
Yes.
Are you using just like plain React library along with like Create React App or something like that? Or using Next or using any framework?
I use Vite a lot. Am I saying it right? I know there's a thing.
Yeah, it's French.
It's French.
And I do use Next.js. I'm still trying to get used to it because they did a lot of changes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just trying to make sure that I'm not missing anything.
Yeah.
Because it becomes like a lot after a while. You're like, okay, well, now you change this and let me make sure that I'm following it the correct way. Because, you know, you don't want to put anything out. And it's like, okay, that's not really how you use that.
Yeah.
You know, but I do enjoy Next a lot.
Yeah.
It's just more of just trying to really familiarize yourself with all the changes.
And
stay caught up.
Right. Yeah. So are you still enjoying the current Next, really, is like the follow-up question.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. I think so. I think I see a lot of potential in using. I think it's going to be like, obviously it's huge, but I definitely see myself using it more the more I get comfortable with it.
No, and it definitely still has like strong opinions, which is valuable when you're trying to find best practices. But it's just whether you embrace like, oh yeah, the best practices were left and now they're right. Okay.
Yeah. It's that adaptation.
Yes.
Like just getting familiar and you know, adapting to the changes.
Yeah. I get annoyed with them because they change stuff too much. Like every year is like, oh, do it totally differently.
Well, see, that's the thing. Because when I first got introduced to it, I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. And then shortly after it changed, wait a minute, I got to figure this out all over again. It's like you have to like redo everything.
And
get more, you know, go over the documentation and figure out, okay, I'm not supposed to do it like this. They want you to do it this way. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, now.
I wonder if they talk about the why at all. Like, why? Or do you know, do they say, and when they're like, this is the new version, do they say why they changed it? Or they're just like, we say this is better.
Kind of that. I mean, at least like, you know, I got introduced to it from the conference and the conference talks introducing those new features. And it was a little jarring, I think, to like midway through a component have this like use server directive and then do some other things there. So you could be like, you could kind of like the main file is server and then you have a client one, and but it also has a nested server one, and some of that gets to be a little bit weird. So they didn't necessarily say why. They actually were like, look at these benefits we're giving you.
Yeah.
And that's really how
the pitch
was presented.
Went. Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay, the benefits look
what you
like
can do now.
They're worth doing. So let's do that.
Okay.
I think the jury's out on that one, and we'll find out.
And we'll see.
Yeah. All right. So I do want to dive a little bit into the talk that you gave, and I want to start by... like, can we define neurodivergent? What all does that include?
Oh my God. So I love this topic so much, and I think it's so important for just everybody to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
So neurodivergent, or being neurodivergent, is basically acknowledging that your brain works differently than a typical. And I hate the word typical because, like, what is that, right?
Right.
But, like, in a more standard manner, like, somebody, the way that somebody thinks or predicts you're going to react to something. Mm-hmm. And so bringing awareness to the fact that your brain's different from your brain and your brain's different from mine, and we process information just differently. Yeah. It doesn't mean that there's something physically wrong with you or there's an impairment that's implied. It's just... different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's basically neurodivergent, like the way you perceive information or the way a person might socialize or take different cues or communicate. It might take a different set of skills than somebody that's more typical.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought of a quote that I saw somebody say on Twitter, I think. So I have no attribution to who it was, but it was like, people think about like autism as this thing we want to try to solve. And they're like,
you can't, like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not a cure.
And it's crazy because I wasn't familiar with autism at all until my daughter is how I learned about autism. I have, she's eight. She'll be eight soon. But when she was born, I started noticing there was things that were slightly like I wasn't familiar with. I was like, because I have three older daughters,
right?
And she's my youngest.
Yeah.
And so when I was catching up on like different cues, like, okay, well, she's not talking, or I'm calling her name and she's not responding to me, or just different things that I'm like, okay, I don't quite know what's happening here. And then after some time, we ended up going to see a neurologist, and I was told that she was diagnosed with being autistic. And I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, what does that mean? I've never met anyone that was autistic or, you know, on the spectrum or anything. And so I had to dig deep and do all this research to figure out, like, what does that mean and how does that pertain to her?
Right.
And I mean, that it just completely changed how I look at everything.
Right.
I just didn't understand. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest deal. There's a lot of people that just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't solve something that doesn't need to be fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the whole thing. Is he was like, it's like arguing that your Windows PC needs Mac OS installed. It's like, it's different. You can't compare them. It's just a different way of thinking.
It's a different way of interacting.
Yeah.
A different way of, like change your expectations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And assumptions, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now that we know some about what this is, tell us about the mistakes people make in their websites that are not able to capture some of this demographic and some of that.
Because people, you know, the idea is typical, right? Like a lot of people don't consider how certain things affect someone, and they might not think they have an effect at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that goes with, like, we can go off with just line spacing and, like, the font faces and things like that. It's like, yeah, I like this because it looks nice, right?
Right.
Sure.
Or it looks, but that doesn't mean that somebody can read that. Like, so if you're dyslexic, you might look at this and, like, I don't understand what's happening here, you know? Or when it comes to, I know people like to, like, sometimes use those big blocks of code, of text, and to explain, like you might be explaining something really, you know, detailed and thing. That's fine. But that doesn't mean it has to be this huge wall of tech that nobody can see through.
Yeah.
Because you don't understand that some people, like if you're neurodivergent, you might look at this and it's just so much that you can't get through it.
Right.
You literally will shut down and just, I'm done. And that's not what you want. If you want somebody to come, you want them to follow through. And when you create a barrier like that, they can't. Like some people can't. Another thing that I'm big about is motion. So I'm going to refer to my daughter again. She gets hyperfixated on things. So it's like there's some people that get really affected by motion, like the vestibular, and they start feeling sick and things like that.
Right.
She's the opposite. She gets stimulated by it. So she'll focus on something that's moving and then you won't move forward.
Right.
And she gets like stuck almost. And so you'd have to like redirect her. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, that card that flipped over was cool when you when you scroll down and everything shifted.
Oh,
yeah,
the parallax.
Yeah, the parallax. Like, yeah, I get the idea of it being cool, but like, no, it makes people. Yeah. It doesn't make everybody feel good.
Right.
And you don't understand the effects that it does have on someone at all. And so I'm really big on like, no motion. Like, not even just prefers you. Reduce motion, that's cool. Do that too, but start with no motion.
Right.
Yeah.
If somebody wants things to move, allow them, give them the preference to say, hey, I want to do this and then turn it on.
Right.
But I don't like it. Like, don't,
yeah.
Don't
like
move
flip
stuff.
The default.
Yeah.
So if you want to see an animation, like click here to do it. Yeah.
And then we'll light up the page for you. We'll get it. Yeah.
Opt into animation.
Right.
Like this page includes animations. Would you like to opt into them?
And I mean, one of the biggest things that I talked about this in my talk is the thing that really brought it to my attention was how she reacted to sound and visual stimulus. Because my example was opening up the Starz application. I don't know if any of you have Starz, but if you open up the Starz application like on your television, the first thing that happens is the logo gets huge.
Oh, right.
It like blasts across the screen, then it shrinks, and then you hear a loud like boom boom, like a sound, comes out, and she like it just sent her into she covered her ears, and it just she had this like really adverse reaction that I was just like, "Oh my God, like what's happening here?" You know, it completely threw me off. And so I didn't understand. I didn't know that she's autistic and she has a sensory processing disorder. And so it sounded fine to me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like, no, it was painful to her. Like
right.
it caused her to have this really intense reaction that I just wasn't prepared for.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so like that's what it was like. Yeah. You like, how many other people feel this way?
Yeah.
When they turn on a, you know, they open up a website or an application and all of a sudden there's a sound playing already that they didn't ask for, or somebody's there's an ad or a video already going.
Yeah. I mean, some sites can just be boom, boom, boom.
And sometimes there's just so much going on that it's so overstimulating, or these noises, you don't even realize that noises sound what they sound like, you know? And so it's just like, we have to do something.
Yeah.
Like I just immediately was like, okay, well, how do you fix this? Because where's the information that we can use to not make people.
Does it let you opt out on that?
Some people don't have options for that. That's the thing. Like it shouldn't even start that way.
Cause like I'm thinking about it now, like Netflix does that you have to.
Yeah, but that's the issue that was the other part. Because not only does it do that, cause even to now to this day, she does the same thing. Like she knows it's happening. When you're and she'll and we our mute button is our favorite button because I'm like, hey, don't start the movie without hitting mute first. Like we literally hit mute because I don't even know if it lets you opt. I've never seen an option. Maybe and if there is, somebody let me know.
On an intro screen, I bet
they
don't even think about
because
that.
Because it's the Netflix does the chime or whatever, and then there's an array of lights. And then that's the worst for her.
Like, and you're basically discovering all this stuff real time.
I'm
like, you
discovering
don't know
it
what
real time,
to.
And then I have to put it together, two and two together, to find out like what's happening and what's triggering her, and then you fall into this like deep hole of research because I'm like, I have to figure out what this is.
Right.
Yeah.
And you realize like, it's this colors that are, you know, these bright colors. She doesn't see them the same way I see them.
Right.
You know, a lot of colors, what I've learned is that a lot of people that are autistic, their colors seem more fluorescent. They're brighter. and they give off this like weird glow, and like it's too stimulating for her. Or even the noises, like I didn't know noises could cause pain, like could feel painful.
Yeah.
That's what it was blowing my mind. And I was like, how do I figure out more? And how do I figure out ways to, or learn more ways that I can share with other people to work past this and like not allow to make people more comfortable? Because everybody should be able to use your product or your, you know, and not feel like, oh, this, I'm not included.
Yeah.
And this, you didn't think about me when you were creating this. So. Yeah. That's so important.
That's a tough battle to like kind of consider like everyone making a website or an application or whatever else. I wonder if that's something that could really be targeted at the platform level, right? Like Apple TV, Roku's, you know, whoever at the platform level, that's, they do things with accessibility now and they do things around like parental controls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why can't they also have this level of, again, I consider it like an accessibility issue.
Yeah. 100%.
So, you know, Mac OS could be addressing this, Apple TV, your Chrome browser, things.
And I know it's
levels.
Such a wide subject of, because neurodivergence carries a whole bunch of different, you know, it could be somebody that's dyslexic all the way to autism and ADHD. And so it's such a huge array of different, you know, names and things. And so, and even things that don't have names and how certain things affect them is wider, right? And so I know that everything won't be covered. You won't be able to cover everything, but at least acknowledging towards something. I mean, even a little bit goes a long way.
The internet's been around for a little while. I mean, and it feels like, you know.
Yeah, I hadn't really considered, like, that does make it harder that it's more of a spectrum because, like, if you're blind, you're blind. We can fix that, right? Well, we can't fix that.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? We can address that in our applications.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have this, like, everyone's affected a little bit differently by things, and you have a lot more to consider. So it's harder to get that right. So,
But that's, see, and then that's when you lean more into allowing people to personalize things, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least, even if you chose to, you know, go with motion first or whatever, okay, fine. Even though I don't think that you should, but at least give the option. At least offer the option to, or give a warning, like a good warning. Mm-hmm. Like, let me know. Like, hey, just in case you're wondering, like, this is coming.
Some sites do that for like concerns around, because people will have seizures.
Yeah,
or
epilepsy.
Exactly. So there are sometimes that, but it's very minimal. It's like you come across it and you usually remember and notice it because it's so infrequent.
It's so funny because I think about movies, right? Like sometimes you'll watch a movie like, I'm just going to bring this up as an example, like a Marvel's movie.
Yeah.
And like they'll put the little, like a little warning like at the top, but it's like it's on top of the image. You can't even say, and it goes on and off real quick.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, well, what did they say?
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, I'll let you know.
Right.
Well. You know, and I'm like, I wish that was, there was a way to say, hey, like this is coming. Do you not want to do that? Like, can we, you want to skip this part? You know what I mean? Or so, at least give me the option to say no.
No, thank you.
Don't just be like, hey, here's, well, here it is.
And then we're going to start in a big space battle. So it'll be like, I tend to think the more we talk about this, I tend to have like a strong feeling that on the platform level, they should be doing a better job.
Yeah.
And at the app level.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Like Netflix could do this.
They could because they can afford to add more into the apps, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I've heard they have some money.
Yeah, exactly.
At least at the platform
level, you can kind of turn on some things and maybe get some warnings, maybe get things as like, you know, we don't recommend opening this app because blah, blah, blah things. But I also realize that even across the web as a whole, as long as the web has been a thing already, we do poor accessibility.
Oh, 100%. Right? Like, I mean,
we're better now than we used to be,
and we're talking about something like, hey, could you do this now? But there's like little things that still aren't being, that, like you said, the web's been around for a long time.
You're right.
And people don't want to do alt tags still. Like,
exactly.
You know, like come on.
Yeah, you got to be nudged on that.
People are lazy.
You got to add it to your prettier or something if you want to force the developers to do it. Yes. So. Yeah, it's a shame. And it is a lot of work, though, too. So then there's a whole side of, like, yourself, you have a personal experience, so you've learned a lot more about it. But, like, you know, we've had slight waves within our industry where folks absolutely, like, do become subject matter experts around this. But it feels like so infrequent, right? It's like a small collective of people.
We were talking about that yesterday because it was almost like, okay, well, that's why it should be more incorporated into the process. Don't do it after. It should literally be through the process.
Yeah. Not to make light of it, but it's like testing. You know, if you don't bolt testing along with your work, that becomes a bunch of tech debt that you know, the company never values.
And then nobody wants to even go back and fix stuff.
Exactly. So they
people get angry because you're like, hey, you didn't add this. And they don't want to go backwards because you've already done this thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, well, maybe I don't want to touch this again to add more attributes or whatever else. Or, oh no, we got a design. It actually is like really poor for this kind of experience. Oh, are we going to go back and redo the whole thing? Unfortunately, corporate responsibility around it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, this is a bigger problem that corporations are just like, hey, let's do something quick, spend a little bit of money. Like, if you ever ask for time for tech debt or testing, they're like, no, why would we give you time for that?
No, it works,
and
right?
So you just don't ask. Like, your team needs to have higher standards and just do it.
Right.
Because
that's I feel like it should just be a natural part, right?
Yeah.
Just naturally added. Don't make it seem like it's an extra thing because it shouldn't be extra.
It's
it should
about
just
done.
Be
it's
in
about
the
being
process.
Finished.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It took a bunch of worldwide lawsuits and courts and whatever else to get freaking banners for cookies up.
Like,
what kind of effort is it going to take for this?
Yeah. Oh,
you know?
Man, cookies.
And cookies annoying, but like cookies be cookies. And they'll just find another way to do it. It's all in local storage now, you know, same stuff and tracking and whatever else. It just make people be more clever. So if the standard of having a site legally within the United States required a certain level of accessibility, which technically it is supposed to, but nobody checks. There's no follow up, right?
There's too many websites for them to check them all.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. There's got to be some lawsuits that actually matter.
Yeah.
And then
that's true.
And that enforces the next level of it.
But I mean, like, we already know that accessibility, it benefits everybody. Like, so if you know that your company is going to benefit from it or your platform, then why not? Like, it almost doesn't make sense to not want to put it at the forefront.
Yeah.
Because you're creating a barrier for so many people. So you want these people to be able to access your. So why would you not? It almost doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Things that seem logical don't seem to apply
to corporations
and business standards and things of that nature. So.
Well, you also like the bigger the business, the less you can focus on how experienced all your employees are. So maybe they don't know about this and they're just cranking away. You know, how they've always done it. Everything's a div. We don't care about keyboard navigation.
But see, that's the problem too then, right? Because instead of just teaching someone, like grazing over accessibility, because the thing is when you're first learning or when you're going through the process, you learn HTML and you learn, you know, some CSS and you throw in a little JavaScript and they're like, oh, you're free.
Yeah.
But what it really should be is while you're doing each one, you're also looking at accessibility throughout the whole process.
A mastery level of each bit.
It seem like it's a thing that you should learn after and more of incorporating it with the whole process.
Yeah.
You know, I think that then you wouldn't look at it as if it was additional, like it was something that you have to add on.
Yeah.
Because
it's
already ingrained in the process.
I remember for a minute that Google had some of their like SEO around accessibility and they would rate sites higher with certain.
They definitely have the
things.
Color contrast for sure. Yeah. I don't know what else they have, but
Yeah, I think that it's pretty shallow pool of what
companies
care about.
That might make a huge difference though.
It would though. Mm-hmm.
If people put more like SEO and it was more based on like how accessible it is. I mean, it would force people to want to do better.
Yeah. Then it's worth a ton of money.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do.
Then. Yeah.
It seems like the solution.
Yeah. Well, SEO might go away with AI anyway.
Right.
So
it's hard to
open
say.
AI, do this, please.
Right.
There you go.
And so there you go.
Yeah.
Rewrite it with, and you know, that might be terrible. Here's my HTML. Make it more accessible for these points, you know, and then see what happens. A little scrub through.
Yeah,
be interesting. Go back and fix it.
Yeah, exactly. As you must, but still, some 80% is not a bad jump.
That was higher than none, right? Like higher than zero.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit goes a long way. You know, at least acknowledging that this thing needs to happen or paying attention to it, and even adding just a little bit, like, hey, you know.
And all the adults know that we should be doing it, right? And then it's just not happening still. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really understand where like budgets and requirements even come from. It's like so many levels above the people doing the work. that it's like, why did you decide we can't do these things? Well, it's like, oh, well, my manager said we can't, and his manager said we can't, and their manager.
See, that's when you need people to come back downstairs. You need people, those people that are saying whatever. There's a disconnect.
Yeah.
And instead of you sending the message up, they need to come down.
They
need to come down to figure out, okay, well, why did you make this decision? Or, you know, and be more involved. People like to get to a spot where they think that because I'm here, I don't have to come and figure out what y'all are doing. Just do it. Do what I said.
You don't
know if what you
said fits.
Right.
If it makes sense. So you need to come back downstairs.
Yeah. Maybe that's an interesting thing. If you could actually tie some of it to like ROI directly to, oh, here's a percentage of people that we're keeping out of the business because of these different things, these choices we've made. And if we actually put some efforts there rather than another new shiny feature or whatever else, you would think that would be easier sell even than things like testing.
100%. Yeah.
We should test so we save human hours, but you don't care because you front load them here.
You can't quantify that as well as you can. You're missing these users.
They would rather you iterate on a feature or add a new feature or do something else so they can A/B test on some pricing model for AI thing. And, you know, you got to get AI into your application. So there's no time to do accessibility.
We don't need to AI everything so much.
Now it seems like that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, everything has a chatbot to help you do stuff faster.
Oh, and those are an accessibility issue because I'm like, you'll go to a website or something and there's a chat box. Hey, do you need help? And you can't get rid of it. You're like, could you just, no, I don't.
Yeah.
It makes it, like, if you are neurodivergent or you have like, you know, anxiety and things like that, this thing coming on the screen every 2 seconds asking you if you need it. No, I don't. Like, it can make you feel anxious.
Right.
And then a lot of times you can't really get rid of it. It just kind of goes into the corner.
Yeah.
But you know it's there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I went to a website. I'm not going to say what it was, but like every time you went to a new page, it popped right back off.
Yes,
and I was like, oh my God, my brain is going to explode. Like,
I don't think anyone has ever wanted anything to pop up.
No.
Like,
no.
You turn on your computer and it's like, let me boot up the last 20 apps you had over. I'm like, no,
like,
I'm trying to type
go
in
back
this one.
To where you were? No.
Right.
Yeah.
I closed my computer. No, I don't want to go back.
Yeah, that's true. And it's always the ones where I do need customer service where I can't find that.
Yeah.
There's no chatbot. There's no whatever. Yeah. They're like, we work from the hours of 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Only on Mondays.
You know? And only on Mondays. Like, I can't. All right. Well, you still have my money. Great.
And then the ones that you don't want are popping up like, hey, do you need it? And they're always on the screen.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. It's always new apps that you're trying out. And they're like, oh, you're in the trial period. Can we help? Yeah.
Oops.
No, you cannot. You are
annoying. It's not. It's annoying. It's very like off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know I don't want your help. I also don't want to be here anymore.
Right. So somehow or another, like, those are the user experience studies that get landed on like that rather than. And maybe that's a like lack of diversity in user studies. Or something of that nature,
I think,
right?
So too. I think that people have to be more willing to dig in an area that they're unfamiliar with,
right,
and not stay so surface.
Because
some people, I think that things are like paperwork purposes, right? Like, you'll do something because it has to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, we did it. So here's the paperwork. Say we did it. But like, did you do it?
Right.
Did you? You know what I mean?
I checked that box, but I moved by pretty quickly.
But did you do it? Like, how deep did you go? And did you really care about doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like if you really wanted to know, you're gonna find the information. And there's a benefit to that. There's a bit like you're gonna benefit from diving a little deeper and really trying to figure out, like, did this really work? And how did these people feel? And, you know, what effect did it have? But if you just want to do it just to check the box, then you're doing yourself a disservice because you're going to end up with, it's still a shitty product. You're pushing people away still.
You're just affirming your own assumptions at that point. And then, are you really learning anything? Be prepared to be wrong.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So I do want to pivot a little bit. And I looked at your LinkedIn, saw you had like 10 years of government work and stuff and like some stuff with the TSA and airlines. So twofold. One, how did you get from that to coding? And two, do you have any fun TSA stories for us?
Oh my God, I got a lot of fun. I got a lot of TSA. It's so crazy because People are the people. They're the saying that we all say. I've worked in the airport in general for a long time. Like when I graduated from high school, my first job out of high school was working in the airport. Right. Okay. I used to work at Starbucks, and then I went from Starbucks, and I used to work for TSA, and I've also worked for Delta Airlines.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so you get immersed in the airport and how the airport functions.
Yes.
And it's so funny that we have a saying that like when people walk into the airport, they lose their mind. Like they forget everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything's a problem. They don't know where to go. I remember somebody asking me, and they were like, we were doing some type of security, and we were shifting like the traffic to another checkpoint or something. And,
right.
And this guy was like, we don't know where to go, and you need to be better at helping us. And he was like kind of fussing at me. Mm. And he was like, you need, you know, better signage and more directions and all that. And I said, sir, there's a sign right there. I was literally standing under a sign to give him directions. And I was trying to give him grace because I'm like, you might be stressed out. I don't know where you're going and where you're traveling to, but like, here.
Yeah, right.
You know, like people, and I know, I understand traveling gets really hard and people do lose their mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because all they think about is where they need to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not thinking about who's around them and everything like that. So, you know, it's fun. It's very customer service based no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's from TSA to when I was being at a gate agent, ticketing agent, everything is about like people.
Mm-hmm,
and it gets very draining, but you're also like very understanding. You learn people.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best part about it, because you get to interact with so many different people and personalities and just in general. And you're so, because you learn how to be calm in tough situations.
Yeah.
Because they're high strung. People are traveling and they're already on 10.
They probably had a few drinks.
Yeah. They're on 10 and you're on 2 because what? I'm going to be here for the next 8 hours. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm
going
to go home. I don't know where you're going.
So, like, I remember, like, I have a story. Like, it was a bad storm outside. Like, it was tsunami weather. Like, the weather was ridiculous. And, like, this guy walks up to me and I was a gate agent at the time, and he just starts going off. Like, he's angry, he's mad, and he's like, my flight is canceled, blah, 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 and you need to help me, and, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, I was really calm, and I think that threw him off, too, because I didn't react to him.
Yeah. Right.
And then I was like, okay, sir, well, how can I help you? And then he started going through this thing, and he wasn't even flying my airline. And I was like, but I'm going to still help you, because I understand that you're frustrated. And I'm good at bringing people back down.
Okay.
And I think that's a good trait of mine, because I understand it. I get it. You're stressed out. But, like, let me help you anyway.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like, so I enjoy it. I think that I've gotten the best of it's such a very, like, you get a little bit of everything. And I think it's like a little universe when you're at an airport and just in general.
Yeah.
And being able to touch, I've been... Like I said, I've worked on all facets, right? Like, I work through security, and so I know how that goes.
Yeah.
And the things that people travel with that they're embarrassed by, they think they're embarrassed by it, but you, like, you see it every day.
Yeah.
But you get to play little games with people.
Yeah.
Because they're embarrassed. They're like, hey, like, what are come some over here, let me look in your bag real quick. Like,
right. I know what you're doing later. Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, but it's funny because they're more nervous than you are.
Mm,
but you already know, like, I'm going to just look in here real quick and I'm going to close it. You can go about your business, but, like, let me give you a little stress.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, it's really funny.
That's your way to get back with them a little bit.
I
was gonna say, with the x-rays and all of that, like, you see tons
I mean
of
yeah but it's so
right?
funny that, like, people think that you I think people think that you can't see certain things,
right?
But you can.
You can see it all, can't
There's
you?
Some people that think that, like, oh, I'm going to pack this and you know, and you get so used to yes, where your job is, right? Like, I can see it. I don't care if you wrapped it in tin foil.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like, they think that there's some things that people think that they can bypass, but, like, you know, like, even the little body scanner, I think people think that we can see them. Like, it's meant to, like, it's not an x-ray.
No, it's more of, like, body shape,
it's
right?
So
like,
weird,
it's not the bones.
But, you know, some people get really, like, and I understand it and I respect your feelings about it. There's some people that are like, I'm not going through there because I don't want to get radiation. And I'm like,
It's not that kind of thing.
That's not what we're doing here. Yeah. It's not really what it is. And then they think we're taking pictures. Nobody's doing that.
Mental pictures, maybe sometimes.
Not even that. We're just like, please come on.
Yeah, please go through.
Please come on.
Well, that's the funny thing is most people, you're like, I don't want to see that anyway. Whatever it is, I don't want to see it.
You get good at catching numbers, right? So you know how many people are going to come in a certain amount of hours. And more, it's just like any other job. You're just like, all right, let's get through this.
Yeah.
Like, what makes you think that I want to sit here and stay with you and do, like, no, let's keep this going.
Yeah.
You know, but.
You want to fly. I want you to fly.
Yeah.
I want to get you there, you know. And like, they like to use us as the default when they mess up.
Oh, right.
So like, if they miss their flight or like they don't make, or something happens, they're like, well, they did it. They're the reason why. I'm like, no,
they didn't. Yeah, maybe get there earlier.
Listen, my deep, I love that. Like, hey, we tell you to get here at least 2 hours in advance.
Yep.
What time do you get here?
Right. Oftentimes you don't need that time, but the time you do, you'll feel better.
Listen, you should have been here.
Right.
Should have got here on time.
Just like taking the express lanes. Like, the one time you don't, there's a lot of traffic.
There you go.
Yeah, I know.
And whose fault is that?
Yeah,
right. Yep. So that's why like the pre-check and the global entry and all those things. That's like the express lane through.
Yeah, and people don't even realize how great that is. Like, I heard somebody like complaining about pre-check, and I'm like, listen, pre-check is great. They only like $75 for like 4 years or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember the amount of time, but like, you don't even have to do it again. Like, that's like,
it's a
money.
While. Yeah. And it's $100 for, or at least was, for global entry. So you got pre-check, and if you're out of the country, you come right through. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm like, if you fly, you know you're flying, please, just pay it.
Yeah.
It's a benefit. It's great. Just do it.
I think there's like that company Clear now that also does a thing that it's like super fast, but it feels like
I don't want to say anything bad. Yeah. No, it's not.
You should say bad.
The funny thing, I don't want to, but the
sponsored
funny
by
thing,
Clear.
Yeah, today's episode is sponsored by Clear. Provide all your biometric data and your firstborn and get to the date very quickly.
What's funny is people like they used to get mad at us though, like because they are Clear and we're like. All right.
I know. They're very
irrelevant. Thanks for letting me know, though.
But you're let me see your ID.
Right.
That's cool. You have Clear, but we still need to verify your information.
Yeah, there's still
it just like skips the initial line.
Because like
or
we're a government agency. Yeah. Like it's still a process in security in general.
Yeah.
What makes you think that you don't get to bypass us?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, so that's not how
you just don't have to
wait
in that other line. That's all it is.
Yeah. I think you have to have both. You do Clear and pre-check, and then you're like a little bit faster. Like Clear is kind of irrelevant.
I think it only works when pre-check line is long, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Because then you're like, well, I get to, you know.
Yeah,
but,
I jumped to the head of that.
But if it's not, then you're just, other than that, there's really no benefit.
That's true. That's true.
Like if the line is like, if there's no one, why are you over there?
So you heard it here. Clear is a waste of your money.
I did not say that.
Hey, you can verify yourself on LinkedIn with Clear.
You know,
have
makes
you done
you
that?
Feel comfortable.
No, really?
Yeah.
I don't go back on LinkedIn. Yeah. Remember, we talk about how Taylor wouldn't like to hear this, but
because he thinks that.
Not really. I am the CEO of HTMX on LinkedIn currently. I'll put it on my LinkedIn because I think it's all ridiculous and a joke. Anyway, I'm not a recruiter, though, and I respect those and that particular
Well, that whole
profession.
Game has kind of cooled down.
Yeah. With the change in the marketplace and. Where people were laid off so much and they're trying to backdoor through things. Yeah, it's kind of like, that's a serious time. But
yeah, don't want to get into that. But I do want to hear, how did you transition from that to tech? And
I just always been into tech. I didn't know. So the funny thing is, it's not even funny. It's kind of sad, right? Like, because growing up, you get pushed like this, hey, go be a doctor, go be a lawyer. And you don't realize that some things are tangible, right? So you kind of get conditioned in thinking that, like, I got to go here or here or here or here. Like, these are the fields
these
that'll
the
be the most successful and you'll make the most money or you'll be, right? And so,
and
it doesn't mean that you can't be passionate about those things, but, like, you kind of, like, push back some of the things that you think you're passionate about, right? You think, because you are, though. And so I really, like, me and my brother used to, like, play around with computers. We used to go to the thrift store and buy old computers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we used to play games like King's Quest and floppy disk.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it was, like, those are the things that, like, I enjoyed. And I remember playing, like, old school, like Family Feud, when the computer screen is like green and black, and like, you know, like stuff like that. Like I liked it, and I didn't know that you could learn more, build games, or just do anything computer. Like, I didn't know that it was something that I could do, or even that I was already doing something like that by tinkering around. And I didn't know that it could turn into like a career path, because they don't tell you computer science is a thing or software engineering is a thing, which they should. Yeah. They're doing it better now, right?
Of course.
But like, it almost made it seem like it was an intangible like field, like you couldn't reach, especially for me. I'm like, I'm a young Black girl like from Atlanta, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so it wasn't something that was always like put in front of you. And I don't know if it was done like on purpose by like just in general, or like, you know, some things are kept like gatekeeping almost, right?
Yeah.
And so it's through time, I just kind of like moved past it, and I was like, okay, well, you know, job security is over here, or doing things that make you feel comfortable, because I know this what my outcome and income is going to be, and you know, that traditional like staying on this like you know, like you know, and it works right, like, oh, put in the work, and you don't, and I didn't even look at it anymore, because it's not a thing,
it's not in your
and
mind
so
at all.
Then when I realized that, and I'm gonna bring up Shandae again, we're really good friends, and we go back a long time, and we have like over a decade of history together.
Right.
And when I remember, when she probably doesn't even know this story, but like, I remember going online and I seen her post something to like her stories, and it was like a really, it was a really bad website, but it was like her learning, right? And I didn't realize it at the time. And she made like a little, like a portfolio, like of just her name, and like, hey, this is what I like, and whatever. It was just very generic, like really, really plain. But I was like, oh my gosh, she's doing something that I'm interested in, but like, she's doing it now.
And,
you know, like wait a minute. And I'm like, I don't know anybody like that's doing this thing or in this field. And then when I seen her doing it and like sharing things, she was sharing really slowly and quietly. Like, and if you didn't know or what was happening, you wouldn't know what she was doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And
totally.
So when I seen it, I was like, okay, she's doing it. She's doing this thing that I know about and I like.
Yep.
And the more I watched her progress, it inspired me to be like, you know what? I think I'm going to pick this up again. Yeah. I think I'm going to try to learn this skill that I really like and I love, and I just want to be happy doing this thing.
Right.
I love problem solving. I love building puzzles. And like, I think that's how I think about coding. I think it's like a big puzzle that never ends, right? Like,
absolutely.
You're always like fitting things together. And I'm like, I didn't know until I was watching her career growth and like just how her path was going. And it was just so inspiring. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to get out of my own way. Yep. I'm going to step into this light and I'm going to go. I'm just going to
put it out there. And
I'm
start
just going to put it out there.
Journey.
I'm just going to start learning.
I love that passion answer too. I mean, and you know, no shade to anyone who is just trying to have more money, security, and options. That's good. I mean, there's a path for those people too. But I think that success in this industry comes very much from that kind of thing. Like, I'm curious. I like the challenge. I just really have fun and enjoy doing this. Although some of that fun for myself sometimes is like, you're garbage and I hate this and, you know, whatever. You got to go through some of that.
Imposter syndrome is real.
You should have seen me yesterday. I was like in full panic mode. I've been in full panic mode for like 6 months.
Right.
It wasn't until like after my talk was over that I like calmed down, you know, but like I got really inspired by her process. And I was like, I can do. And then hand in hand with the experience that I had with my daughter being autistic and then the new information that it just made me feel like I want to make sure that I build applications that people like her, that feel like her, that experience things like her could use.
Sure.
And how can I make this better? How can I, it makes you feel like, I want to do this and I want to be better and I want to be great.
And you want to share that with people, right?
Yeah.
You want to like help us learn and help other folks that are here. There's probably tons of people that have like just no idea that those things, like, I just think parallax is annoying at this point, that I didn't even think about, like,
pretty
it's going to come back.
Everything is, what is it, like dark, various shades of purple, and then they're going to start parallaxing again or something like that. Yeah, every other site you see. But is this, so are, do you have any more talks this year planned so far?
Listen, this was my first talk.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Oh, nice. Like, it was my first talk. I was super nervous about it. And I feel like I feel much more confident.
Yeah.
And I feel much more confident and comfortable now that I've kind of went through the process.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm so excited. Like, I just want more people to be aware and just know, right?
Absolutely.
And like, my goal is to make as many people informed as possible. So like, if somebody would have me, I'm definitely going. I just want to share.
Yeah.
Like, if I can bring more people in and just let them know why this is important and what they can do to make a difference, or just even having somebody want to just learn more about this thing.
Right.
Like, we all benefit from that. Everybody benefits from accessibility across the board.
Yeah.
So if I can be like a little piece of the puzzle.
I feel like you could continue to iterate and evolve this talk probably for years on end and still be bringing benefits.
And
to
that's
many
what
places.
That's what I want to do. Like, I just want to keep adding onto it. If I find out more information, if I find ways to incorporate more people or, you know, whatever I can do to be a piece of the progress.
Yep.
I'm down.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think you should definitely pursue that. I think you're obligated to be at Render at some point, right?
Listen, if they'll let me in, I'll go. Like, wherever they'll have me, I'm willing.
Just keep putting those CFPs in.
So, yeah. Right? Yeah, fun process.
Mm.
So something I do want to touch on is I have a big lack of Beyonce on every page of my websites. Can you tell me how I can fix that problem?
You can definitely fix that problem. Like, look, I'm H-Town all day. Like, listen, H-Town all day, Beyonce. I'm in the hive. So you're welcome to come over to the dark side if you'd like. So I just did this for fun, but I did do a Chrome extension. So if you're looking for more Beyonce, go ahead and go to Google, get you a Chrome extension. So that way, I don't even remember what I called it. But like,
it's like Beyonce's internet or something like that.
It is Beyonce's internet. Yeah. That's the thing. No, people don't realize that, like, we're
just using it.
Everybody, we're just using her space. We should all give her grace and thanks. So thank you, Beyonce, for letting us on your internet. Because we wouldn't be here without you. Yeah. So if you feel like you need more Beyonce across your, go ahead and download that extension and let it change your life. Like,
absolutely. That's perfect.
Cool. All right. So before we end, is there anything you want to plug or anything we mentioned? Anything we missed talking about?
I don't
think
you can get better than that. Okay.
Well, that's it. Like, I just appreciate you guys' platform and the way that you allow people to share and engage with you. Like, it's dope. It's life changing. It's very chill. Like, I love it. I love what you guys are doing. And
thank
I
you.
Enjoy it. I know. I've listened to you.
You were the one.
Like, I'm excited to be here. This is great. Like, y'all don't even know that you changed my life. So I appreciate you guys.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. If you liked it, please subscribe, leave us some ratings and reviews. We appreciate it, and we will catch you next time.
Yeah.